think to myself, what a wonderful world.
It's Science Wednesday, and it's time to explore our big blue marble. Buckle up, buckle up, buckle up.
Here we go.
In 3, 2,
one,
one,
one, one.
Welcome to Weather Jazz, a world audience podcast about anything and everything, weather science, earth science, and exploring the world, which we've been doing recently on Wednesday since the beginning of the year. I am your host and the creator of the Weather Jazz podcast, Andre Bernier, and I'm the senior meteorologist on staff with WJW Television in Cleveland, Ohio. This is episode number 525 for Wednesday, May 24, 2023. Today's episode brought to you by the great folks at Rise and Dine in Chesterland. It's their Monday. They're essentially open Wednesday through Monday. They have Tuesday off. So they just finished their day off of rest and relaxation, ready to serve you. So they're ready right out of the starting gate on this Wednesday. They're open 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. They have great breakfast, brunch, and lunch waiting for you. They're located on the southeast corner of Routes 322 and 306, better known as Chillicothe Road and Mayfield Road. And they're on the southeast corner, just southeast of the standalone CVS in the plaza below. Easy to find. And you won't regret your visit. You will be back, guaranteed. Well, this is Science Wednesday, and typically we cover all kinds of interesting science-related topics. But we began a series at the beginning of 2023 called The Big Blue Marble. You see, we've explored all kinds of things in the past on Science Wednesday, including astronomy and astronomical solar system objects. Remember that series where we took the individual planets and the moons of the planets, talking about the uniqueness of each one? That was very interesting. But that got me thinking at the beginning of this year, you know, there's just so many interesting places right here on planet Earth that make us go, wow, I never knew we had a place like that right here on our own home planet. So that's what got the ball started. And so we'll be visiting various locations on planet Earth. And it's essentially inexhaustible because there are so many, but we'll take some of the bigger ones. And we have so far done that. And we've taken some of the smaller ones too, looking at the unique aspects of each. Well, last week, we did a Big Blue Marble series, but we did it in a rather unique way. We interviewed someone who lives in a place called Longyearbyen on Svalbard Island. It's part of the Spitsbergen Island group way north of the north shore of Norway. And if you look at a map, you're going to see just how far north that is. That's at 78 degrees north latitude. And if you translate that to distance from the geographical North Pole, it's essentially only 800 miles from the North Pole. And so you're probably wondering, if you're just jumping into the series right now, people actually live there? They certainly do. Longyearbyen has a population of just under 3,000 people. And my guess is they have a trunk line that goes under the ocean to the town of Longyearbyen, simply because the internet speeds are crazy good. And so we thought, okay, this is probably going to be a really easy place to do a Zoom call interview. And it was. So we found Amy. She is the front desk person of a local hostel that houses a ton of people that come to Svalbard for an adventure. And some people even do that during the polar night, which lasts 2 to 3 months. They want to experience what that polar night is like. So, okay, while we may know what life is like on Svalbard and Longyearbyen, Well, we may not know a whole lot about it geographically, politically, every which way but loose. So I thought today what we would do is follow up with our conversation from Amy and talk a little bit about Svalbard and Longyearbyen. So let's talk about geography. We know that Longyearbyen is at latitude 78 degrees north latitude, but the group of islands ranges in latitude anywhere from 74 degrees north latitude all the way up to 81 degrees north latitude. Now, the largest island in that grouping is better known as Spitsbergen, but we're going to concentrate on where the largest town is, the largest town that far north anywhere in the globe, and it is Longyearbyen. Now, it has quite a history because way back when, in the 17th and 18th centuries, whalers sailed that far north, and they used the islands as a base. Subsequently, the archipelago was abandoned. Eventually, though, they saw that the island may be good for some natural resources. And so coal mining started at the beginning of the 20th century, and several permanent communities were established. And the Svalbard Treaty of 1920 recognizes Norwegian sovereignty over the islands, since it is north of the Norway shoreline. Now, mining is not so much a thing anymore on Svalbard. However, more and more, we're looking at tourism as an important part of this grouping of islands. Additionally, because it is far, far to the north and it is a land-based area with good support, internet support, with good infrastructure, research is also very big. Arctic research. Now, I mentioned Longyearbyen as having almost 3,000 permanent residents, and that is true. Are there any places farther north that are inhabited? Now, the answer is yes, but it's a yes with an asterisk by it, because these are research stations that have rotating groups of people going in and out of that area to continually man some of the research that they're doing. So it's not really a permanent residency location like Longyearbyen is. Now, as you may suspect, no roads connect any of the settlements on any of the islands. Instead, snowmobiles are used to get from one place to another, probably about 10 or 11 months out of the year. And aircraft and boats also provide inter-settlement transportation. Svalbard Airport, by the way, which serves Longyearbyen, serves as the main gateway for every part of the Spitsbergen and or the Svalbard archipelago. Now, you may wonder where the word Svalbard comes from. Sometimes word entomology can be very interesting, and when you dig down deep, you discover why it is certain places have certain names. Svalbard is a modern Norwegian analog of Svalbardi, which comes from two Norwegian words, and those Norwegian words are sval, which means cold, and barth, which means edge, ridge, turf, or beard. So when you put the two together, essentially it becomes cold beard, or cold ridge, or cold edge. Now, there are no trees that grow anywhere in the Spitsbergen or Svalbard archipelago at all. The weather does not permit it, nor does the terrain. Glacial ice covers about 60% of the archipelago, and 30% of it is essentially barren rock. The other 10% is vegetated, but we're talking about low shrubs. And really, for all intents and purposes, there can be no farming because of the very long polar night. And temperatures are simply not warm enough, even during the summer months in the polar day. Now, some of you may have actually seen some videos from Svalbard, people heating their homes with wood. So how do they get the wood, especially if trees do not grow anywhere on the archipelago? Well, that wood is very expensive because they have to sail that in. They have to import it in by boat. Now, there is a greenhouse on Svalbard, and that is essentially the only place where anything significant happens. for sustaining life will grow. Otherwise, virtually everything that they need to sustain life, food and fuel, has to be imported in. Now, if you remember last week, we spoke with Amy from the Philippines originally, who moved to Svalbard Island. Now, typically, when you move from one country to another, you need all kinds of paperwork, you need visas and things of that nature. But here's something interesting about Svalbard, just in case you had any notion as to what is needed to actually move to Svalbard. One of the interesting things about the island is that no one, absolutely no one, is required to have a visa or a residence permit on Svalbard. Regardless of citizenship, persons can live and work in Svalbard indefinitely. The Svalbard Treaty grants treaty nationals equal right of abode as Norwegian nationals. So far, non-treaty nationals have been admitted visa-free as well. While there is no visa requirement, everyone must meet certain requirements in order to stay in Svalbard. These requirements are governed by separate policy called regulations relating to the rejection and expulsion of persons from Svalbard. Among those requirements is that residents must have the means to be able to reside on Svalbard. And that rule is not a respecter of persons. In other words, these requirements, they apply to both foreigners and Norwegian citizens. Now, there are still three main industries on Svalbard. They include coal mining, which is reduced compared to the early 1900s. However, tourism and research continue to increase. In 2007, there were 484 people working in the mining sector, 211 people working in the tourism industry, and just over 100 people working in the education sector. And just in case you were wondering, the average income for the economically active folks in Svalbard, 494,700 kroner. That would be Norwegian kroner. Now, if you converted that over to U.S. dollars, it's about $45,000 a year. And if you're a sports enthusiast, just in case you're wondering, association football, better known as soccer here in the U.S., is the most popular sport in Svalbard. In fact, there are three soccer pitches in Svalbard. However, there are no stadiums there because of the very small population. There is, however, a small indoor hall adopted for multiple sports, including indoor soccer. Incidentally, there are a couple of webcams that you can tap into and see what's happening in Svalbard. There used to be one at Longyearbyen Airport, and that one, which I used to tap into periodically for webcam time lapses, was updated once every 5 seconds because the internet speeds are very good. However, that one is no longer available. But if you do a search for webcams in Longyearbyen, you'll find a host of them that update quite frequently, and you can see what's going on in the high Arctic. I'll try to provide some links on episode number 525 on weatherjazz.com for those of you interested in peeking into what's happening in Longyearbyen, Svalbard, and Spitsbergen. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's special stop as a follow-up to the interview that I had last week on somebody who actually lives in Svalbard. It really is a fascinating place given the fact that several thousand people actually live there year-round. Well, do you have a question or a topic suggestion, or maybe you have a suggestion for a future stop in the Big Blue Marble series? Love to hear from you. I welcome your input anytime. You can reach me at weatherjazz@yahoo.com and also via voicemail at the Weather Jazz Podcast Audience Connect line. The number is 234-525-5888. Well, on Friday, we will pick back up with our interview with Virgil Dominic, thanks to John Telich and his podcast, Telich Talks. That's part 2 of 4 coming up this Friday right here on Weather Jets. We'll see you then.
Weather and science across the globe. The Weather Jazz Podcast.